Anyway, John 18. This is weird to get started like this. I can kind of take some of the stuff away from it. But anyway, we might even not get to this. I hope we do this morning. John chapter 18, verse 36. Now, in the last couple of months, boy, have I had a lot of... You've heard me. I've been picking on all sorts of stuff here lately. And I know it sounds like I just got an attitude, and I may sound picky, and you may take it personal. Don't need to. Remember Nehemiah, Sanballat, and Tobiah? They were, I can't think of the word, indignated. what were they? Their indignation. What is indignant? But when they use it in their past tense, what? Filled with indignation. Whoa, you've been homeschooled or what? Phew, I know I haven't been, and it's obvious, I know. Filled with indignation, which means they took it personal, Tobias and Sanballat. And just when you think that I'm done with one, I'm done, you know, we're done with one, another one pops up. Then when you think I'm done with that one, another one pops up. And then lately, two of them popped up this week, and one was just through casual discussion and comments, and I understand where some direction's coming from, and that sort of thing. And so I get on the internet and I type up a couple of these things, and whew, couldn't believe it. We're talking about major movements across the country again. It's unreal. It's unreal what's happening. Now, but we can summarize it all up today and be done with it today if that's what God would have. John chapter 18, verse 36 says this. He's talking to Pilate and everything here. His answer was, Jesus answered, "My kingdom is not of this world. If my kingdom were of this world, then would my servants fight, that I should not be delivered to the Jews." Right? I mean, if this was the time, he wouldn't have gone on the cross. Case closed. All this stuff, don't have to do this stuff. Forget about the movie. Everybody's going to go see it anyway. Give those guys a bunch of money, and wouldn't have to if they followed into this thing. But it wasn't his kingdom. Look at that. "That I should be delivered to the Jews, but now is my kingdom not from hence." Now, if we've talked about anything about Bible versions, it's been a while since we've been over this thing. There's a word missing in the modern Bibles, and I think you probably know what it is. Anybody know what it is? No? Now. "But now is my kingdom not from hence." Let's go to Revelation 16. Now, we're going to do an awful lot of scriptures today, which is nothing new. And I hope this doesn't turn into what it did a couple years ago till 1:30. I don't plan on doing that. I got a simplified version here. But we do need to talk about the scriptures. I want you to get this so badly today that I would do it tonight again if anybody would say, "Boy, I need to hear it again. I just didn't quite get it, and I hate tapes. Would you do it again?" I'll do it again tonight if need be. Go ahead and do it again tonight because I got it all. I don't have to come back. That's not what I'm talking about. Revelation chapter 16. Now what's going on is there's a problem in the kingdom today. Now we already know that the kingdom we're talking about is not Christ's kingdom. We got to get that. And I'll show you, I'll verify that thing a number of times today. But that's the thing I want you to see. Now in this physical earthly body that we have, this is not where it's at. He has made us perfect. He has made us sinless. He has taken care of the law. All that stuff. If you heard Wednesday night, and boy, that thing has really been, I hate the word popular, but it's been really well received on all of our church family, all the people back there in the white dots and everything, about Jesus has already come. A lot of good response on that thing, and it's exciting because he's already come except one way, and that's physically. Which tells me again that we will never have it together physically until he comes and changes us physically, 1 John chapter 3. So until then, what's going on in this country? There's a major emphasis, a major push towards making this kingdom the kingdom right now. And the only way that this could be God's kingdom now would be for us to start walking perfectly. He's got us all figured out inside and cleaned up inside, but not on the outside. That is why he had to cut us away from the flesh. Amen? And we've got to get that spiritual circumcision. Boy, have you ever sat down with your kids, and whether they wanted to eat those broccolis or whatever, you made sure they eat it? Is there ever a time, I think it was Nehemiah, no, it was Ezra, that said, we need to help folks understand something. Well, I hope I can do that with you today. What's going on is this earthly kingdom is being lifted to be God's kingdom. Revelation 16, verse 13. You're going to recognize some of these verses. Hopefully some of your verses are already marked in your Bible. But if they're not, it's a good time. And I saw, verse 13, and I saw three unclean spirits like frogs come out of the mouth of the dragon, and out of the mouth of the beast, and out of the mouth of the false prophet. There's your devil's trinity right there. For they are the spirits of devils working miracles, amen, which go forth into the kings of the earth and of the whole world to gather them to the battle of that great day of God Almighty. So there's a movement going on to make America's kingdom the actual kingdom today. Well, let's get past that for a couple of minutes. We really know what's going on. The devil's trying to get people together for an army against the Lord. That's bottom line. It's still a spiritual battle, and he's working them out physically because that's where the spiritual souls are at, in all these people. So, even though this is not the tribulation, this is not exactly when this has taken place, we sure do see the preparations, amen? Getting closer and closer and closer. As I've said before, the Bible-believing pathway is getting narrower and narrower. It's always been a narrow path, amen? It's just that some people are finally starting to get tired of some of this stuff out here, and they draw the line a little closer in the sand. And you got more room to draw it, amen? But you're never going to be perfect. It's not going to happen. All it's going to do is make that narrow pathway that you create on your own, going to make that thing one miserable path if it's not done the right way. And we'll talk about that tonight, unless y'all beg me to do this thing again tonight. Let's go to 1 Thessalonians chapter 2. Boy, we just got to move along here. It's only 11 o'clock. I know you get tired of sitting, but I hope I can perk you today. 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 9. What is going on in this country today? What's going on in the world, but more specifically our own country? And let's pin it down, what's going on in the churches? Let's pin it down, what's even going on in Bible-believing churches? Let's pin it down, what's going on in your homes? Let's even pin it down, what are you doing? Where are we at individually? We're being snookered. And I hope that this can de-snooker you today. Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 9, even him whose coming is after the working of Satan with all powers and signs and lying wonders and with all deceivableness of unrighteousness in them that perish, because they're... What? 2 Thessalonians. Yeah, you're right, 2 Thessalonians. I'm glad somebody said something. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 9, talks about... Verse 9, even him whose coming is after the working of Satan with all power and signs and lying wonders and with all deceivableness of unrighteousness and them that perish because they received not the love of the truth that they might be saved. That whole thing says that because people rejected the word of God, the next part's from God. And for this cause, God shall send them strong delusion. So because they reject the word of God, 1888 in America, God has then sent down a bigger lie. Isn't that something? Talk about vengeance already. You're not going to believe that word of God? I'm going to send you a lie that'll send you to hell. Already going anyway. But they'll believe that lie, and that lie will send them to hell, as it says the rest of that verse. That they should believe a lie, that they all might be damned who believed not the truth, but had pleasure in unrighteousness. Boy, aren't you glad you wised up to that Bible issue? You try to explain that to a modern Bible user, that they rejected the Word of God, and so God sends you this Bible version. And you believe this Bible version, and what doesn't happen here? There's a salvation problem here. So when somebody says God has nothing to do with the modern Bible versions, oh yes, he does. He sent them. But that was only because of the folks that wrote them and rejected the words of God. And if a person's going to believe that, he'll ship you that lie. Go ahead, have at it. And what's happening in America today, they're all having at it. Have at it. Having at it. Amen? That's quite a verse. Let's go to Matthew 24:24. This is what's happening, according to the Scriptures, in our country today, at this moment, outside the walls of this church, and I hope none of it's going on inside here. Matthew 24:24, a real simple warning God has for us. For there shall arise false Christs and false prophets, and show great signs and wonders, insomuch that if it were possible, even deceive the very elect. Man, talk about deception. This guy calls himself a prophet. Dr. Morris Sarule. There's a tremendous surge of urgency in my spirit as I release the strongest prophetic word God has ever given me. Then somewhere down here, I had a dream. Calls himself a prophet. Okay, so there's a false prophet situation. Let's not go there. Let's take time here. Galatians 1:8 talks about another gospel. Paul warns about another gospel. In Deuteronomy, let's go to Deuteronomy 13. Deuteronomy chapter 13, verse 1. Now, this is Old Testament, but this is where God's at with His testings. God hasn't changed any. He just put His Son between us and Him, but this still has a goal here. Deuteronomy 13, verse 1, if there arise among you a prophet, or a dreamer of dreams, I have dreamed anyway, and giveth thee a sign or a wonder, and the sign or the wonder come to pass. Well, there's a good one. Or if he spake unto thee, saying, let us go after other gods, which thou hast not known, let us serve them. Thou shalt not hearken unto the words of that prophet or that dreamer of dreams. Now that whole thing is based on the book, amen? Anything that we see out there, a miracle or a sign or a wonder, whatever, it's going to go against the book. One, God doesn't work with signs. Two, if there is a miracle that takes place, we already see that it's from the devil. Three, if it goes against the Scriptures, you always take the Scriptures first. 1 Peter or 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 19 through 21. Where those guys even said they saw the Lord in that transfiguration, but we got a more sure word of prophecy. We'll believe this over what we see. Because we are believing by faith, not by sight. So we have people all over this country wanting to see something to believe. In Deuteronomy 13, finish that up, verse 3, for the Lord your God proveth you to know whether you have the Lord your God, you love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul. He's testing people back in those days. He actually lets a false prophet come into your life to see if you're willing to believe the book or him, whether you love the Lord, you love this guy, whether you'll fall for this stuff or not. And if a person's unsaved and falls for this stuff right here, then because they rejected the Word of God, His words, He will send them a strong delusion. And they'll never see it, and they'll go off to hell. It's not a Calvinistic thing. They made the first choice. People go to that Pharaoh for an excuse. Pharaoh made the first choice before God hardened his heart. Everybody makes a choice. We go to 1 John chapter 4. We know what that one is. That's the big test. About the spirit of Antichrist. All the modern Bible versions and teachings and movies from Hollywood and this whole thing failed that whole entire test. You know, amen. So that's a big one. And then if you go to Matthew chapter 13, verse 20, well, we're clicking today. I got to get to this other stuff. We go to Matthew chapter 13, verse 20, talks about the tares. Verse 20, let both grow together until the harvest. And in the time of harvest, I will say to the reapers, gather ye together first the tares and bind them in bundles to burn them, but gather the wheat into my barn. So someday, the Lord's going to have a gigantic burn day, and Mary's going to have nothing to do with it. You know? But that's what's taking place. It's not just somebody with some other little denominational differences. They're serious things. They're not just somebody with some doctrines that I don't kind of believe those things. They're serious things, and they're after our kids. Here we are on that kid thing again. Well, yeah, can I be? You need to know that they're after your kids. Now let's go to 2 Corinthians chapter 1. These are getting to be tough times. And I got thinking about this sermon a little bit because I was getting kind of tired of being troubled. We're not to be troubled, but I was troubled this week knowing that this is happening and this is happening and people are reacting this way and people are missing the meals and people are getting upset about this. I don't know what's going on in the homes. I haven't been in any for a while. I just don't know. It's like, it's just, and all these things coming our way, and I hear that some of the people are falling into some of these little trends, trendy things, because it all sounds so good. I mean, tell me, if you had a teenager and didn't commit suicide, you would think this sounds really good. We don't want our kids just to know about Jesus Christ. We want them to passionately live a Christ-like life. I sincerely believe we must boldly reintroduce Christ to our young people. The time is now to boldly reintroduce Christ so that he shatters the postmodern belief. Boy, that sounds good. Why is the Christianity so many of our kids are adopting making so little difference in their lives? Good question. The Christianity that most of our kids are adopting makes little or no difference in their lives. I just read that sort of. I fear that my kids will spend their childhood and teenage years in the church and walk away unchanged. That's happening. I mean, this guy asks the right stuff and says the right things, but his answer's a lie. It's a poisonous lie. And I'm just hoping that we can see beyond this. That's my concern. So what's going on? Well, anyway, 2 Corinthians chapter 1, Paul makes a statement which I think is quite amazing. I don't know if I preached, I did this in my Romans devotions if anybody wants to read those sometime. Verse 8, he says this, "For we would not, brethren, have you ignorant of our trouble which came to us in Asia, that we were pressed out of measure above strength, insomuch that we despaired even of life." Paul despaired of life. And look at all the stuff that he went through. Look at verse 9. "But we had the sentence of death in ourselves, that we should not trust in ourselves, but in God which raiseth the dead, who delivered us from so great a death, and doth deliver, in whom we trust that he will yet deliver us." So here's Paul having all these horrible things, and he just despaired of life. Woe is him. And he finally said, "But God will take care of it. I can't handle it." Paul couldn't handle it. He wrote this stuff, and he couldn't handle it. He despaired of life. Go to chapter 4, 2 Corinthians chapter 4. I want you to know that the book of Romans devotional, I'm up to day 10 now, every one of those is written to encourage you. Isn't that amazing? That's 9 in a row I've written encouraging people. when I get done writing that thing, I have to say to myself, now, how can this be encouraging? And you read them. I've got 9 sermons I could preach here that would just surprise you all, because they're done to just encourage you. Isn't that amazing? I think it's amazing. I read those things to get encouraged. You know? Paul tries to encourage us. He says in verse 7, chapter 4, "But we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. We are troubled on every side, yet not distressed. We are perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Cast down, but not destroyed. Always bearing about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our body. For we which live are always delivered unto the death for Jesus' sake, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our mortal flesh." Remember all my stuff about the crucified life and the risen life? We must have the crucified life before we can have the risen life. Now, on a daily basis, he sends us to the cross, and then we've got to get up and get going. We've got to have the victory. So we have to see that. We have to see that. We cannot walk the perfect life ourselves. A, he has already walked it. B, we have been imputed that perfect walk to us by his blood. The physical thing will not take place until he comes and gets us physically. Romans chapter 8 says, you got the Holy Spirit or you don't. It isn't something to get later to make sure that you can finally do it right today. That isn't how it goes. It is not how it goes. What is going on? Let's go to Revelation chapter 11. This is all introduction. What is going on? We are being snookered. We are being seduced. You ever gone any place and have somebody seduce you? Come on, anybody had? Did you tell one of the ladies was kind of going, "Hey boy," and that kind of stuff? I've never had a lady seduce me, but I did have a guy seduce me one time, and that was, you know, that didn't last very long. I'm happy about that. I wasn't even saved at the time, but my hair was so pretty that it just got the guy all excited. And done a band trip. I had to talk about this thing on the tape. Maybe somebody knows who this guy is. I'd like to find out who he's ruined so far. He's a teacher. That was years ago. Didn't take long for me to realize that this isn't what Mama taught me at all. This isn't going well here. The only time I went to every party in the hotel was when I had a queer staying in my room with me. And then I slept way over there in my clothes while he stayed in the bed and he apologized to me. Revelation chapter 11. Here's what's going on, see? And I said it a couple times this morning. The physical kingdom is taking some precedence. Look at Revelation chapter 11, verse 15. The seventh angel sounded, and there were great voices in heaven saying, by the way, do not give in to that guy at all. I just want y'all to know that. Anybody out there, okay. The seventh angel sounded, and there were great voices in heaven saying, the kingdoms of this world are become the kingdoms of our Lord and of his Christ, and he shall reign forever and ever. There will come a day when all the kingdoms down here, all the various kingdoms, will all belong to him, and he will straighten out the mess. But he says in John, but now is not my kingdom. Now is my kingdom, not from hence. Okay. Oh, man. A couple quick more verses. Let's go to Jude. In this process of the physical kingdom being, do you know what I mean by the physical kingdom? The actual, here we are, you see it, you do it, you touch it, you feel it, how you dress, how you eat, the whole thing. Where you go to church, the kind of church building you have, what you have in the church, what you wear when you go to church, what does the music and the organ and the color of the curtains and the community and all that stuff. That's the physical kingdom we're talking about. And yes, we want to have a clean place. It says in Timothy that we can pray for a peaceable life and everything. So there's nothing wrong with doing right. But this physical kingdom is what's being lifted up. Not the holiness thing, not the entire sanctification thing, not America's Promise by Colin Powell, which is horribly disastrous for children in this country, not the Calvinist stuff, none of that stuff the issue. The issue is the whole element is worked on a physical kingdom down here. That's totally a waste. It's a total waste of time. Total waste of time. Okay, Jude chapter 1, I guess there's only one chapter in Jude. I fell for it again. Jude verse 4. For there are certain men crept in unawares who were before of old ordained to this condemnation, ungodly men, turning the grace of our Lord into lasciviousness and denying the only Lord and our Lord Jesus Christ. These are people that are tearing up the deity of Christ. You see that there? It just makes God like anybody else, a very fleshy God. They're bringing God down to our level. Now, God's already done that, amen? He came down to our level. But he got victory. Doesn't need to do it again. We don't need to bring God down to the level of a teenager to get a teenager excited about God. Nor do we need to bring God down to our level so we can understand him. God will give us that understanding. We don't have to manipulate into a physical kingdom. So there's one verse of what's going on. These are what I call pulpit liars. This guy here, he's a liar. He's just a liar. He's just a total liar. This guy right here, Josh McDowell, he's a liar. Colson, all those guys, they're liars. They're just liars. They're turning God into a fleshy God. Let's keep going. Let's go to Romans chapter 1. Everybody out there, this physical kingdom, in order for this physical kingdom to do its thing, God has to be brought down to the level of a physical kingdom. Like I said, he's already done it once. Does not have to do it again. Romans chapter 1, verse 21. I haven't gotten to this one yet in my Romans devotional. This is going to be a challenge to be encouraging right through here. Because that, when they know God, knew God, they glorified him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools. And here it is, and changed the glory of the uncorruptible God into an image made like to corruptible man, and to birds, and four-footed beasts, and creeping things. Whereof God also gave them up to uncleanness through the lust of their own hearts, to dishonor their own bodies between themselves. Here it is again, who changed the truth of God into a lie, and worship and serve the creature. That's exactly what's going on in this day and age, today, in our country. Physical kingdoms being lifted, God is being brought down to a fleshly creature just like you and me. We don't dare read all of chapter 2 of 2 Peter, but mark that as a good one to read. The whole chapter 2 of 2 Peter. And then let's go back to Jude. Then we'll get into this thing here. Go back to Jude. You following me? There's a physical kingdom that's being established all over this country. There's even Bible-believing churches that are falling for it. You know what it's called? It's called the Great Commission. We'll get to that in a minute here. Jude verse 10. You can pick any chapter you want. This is a good verse here, a good series of verses that will expose this ecumenical flow that we have rolling through our country here. Verse 10. But these speak evil of those things which they know not. But what they know naturally as brute beasts, in those things they corrupt themselves. Woe unto them, for they have gone in the way of Cain, and ran greedily after the error of Balaam for reward, and perished in the gainsaying of Kor. These are spots in your feasts of charity, when they feast with you, feeding themselves without fear. They don't mind hanging around with the Baptists, with the Bible believers anymore. Ecumenicalism is, I call it Baptistic ecumenicalism. It's starting to happen even with us. We're willing to put up with so much more anymore. Oh, then it goes on and describes some stuff here. Let's go to Nehemiah chapter 6. The same thing happens with Nehemiah. He's trying to build something. He's trying to do right. And in Nehemiah chapter 6, verse 2, Nehemiah is offered a compromise. I'm trying not to spit on the front row, folks, here. I'm really trying. It's hard. Verse 2, that Sanballat and Geshem sent unto me, saying, come, let us meet together in some one of the villages in the plain of Ono, that they thought to do me mischief. Is that the end of that verse, right? Then go to verse 7. I need to mark my notes a little better. Verse 7 says this, and thou hast us also appointed prophets to preach at thee at Jerusalem, saying, there is a king in Judah, and now it shall be reported to the king according to these words. It's a, kind of, they slandered him. And then they say, come now therefore, and let us take counsel together. First they say, let's get together and talk. Nehemiah says, no way, Jose. Then they throw a bunch of slander out, make him look terrible, and say, now listen, are you ready to talk? Let's come together, let's have some counsel. And Nehemiah says, I got a wall to build. We have to say, we're not interested in building a physical kingdom down here. We are interested in a spiritual kingdom. So what's wrong with a physical kingdom? Nothing. Matter of fact, I know too many people, been down that road myself, too many people where if all you care about is a spiritual kingdom, you can let the physical kingdom go to pot and be a lousy testimony and shaming God and have a horrible walk. That's the crowd that I'm concerned about. There is a physical kingdom that we need to deal with. It's all because we love God. It's not because we have to please God. We've got to see that this morning. And you'll see it before we're done. Okay, here's some specifics that I have seen in the last couple weeks or months or whatever. I'll just zip through these things and whack on them, and then we'll get to our presentation here. It's a short one. You'll recognize it, I hope. What is going on? Physical kingdom stuff. Ecumenical compromise. There's one if you're taking notes. We've already been over that thing. The Great Commission, that's an earthly kingdom. It's building churches. It's baptizing people into your church. It's going out there and witnessing. Nothing against that. Nothing against getting people saved. Nothing against having a church. But that is not God's command. God's command is to preach the word. And in this day and age, when the season is not, you're not going to build a church preaching the truth. Something has to give to get all these people to come into church. If you want a local church, a couple hundred people or whatever, ain't going to happen. Or something's happening to challenge it. We know that. If you've been around the country, don't have to be. It just makes sense. When Paul says to preach the word, and then Jesus says to go out there and get a church started, and yet the whole thing cuts apart right here in a couple chapters of Acts, we stick with Paul, and there's churches that happen. There's churches that exist. But anyway, that's the Great Commission. Paul has given us a greater commission. Alpha. We've talked about Alpha. That's just a bunch of Gospels and Acts. And I'll have to say that that's probably the ground foundational source for modern Christianity, because now Baptists are using the term seekers. I read a bunch of stuff on seekers this last week, and I just can't get over it. It sounds like you're saved, but just not excited for the Lord. What it sounded like. And it could be that crowd that thinks you can get saved, but you haven't received the baptism of the Spirit. That's a Pentecostal thing. So there's a little flavor of Pentecostalism in there in this seeker thing. Well, there has to be. It's all tied together. Dangerous stuff. Majorly dangerous stuff. And you've heard me say this. I'll just rip through this thing. Modern pastors, liars in the pulpits, they lead with their personalities. That's in Jude. Vain words, good words, fair speeches, sleight of men, cunning craftiness, great swelling words of vanity, enticing words of man's wisdom, multiplying words without knowledge. Philosophy, vain deceit, traditions of men, rudiments of the world, using wisdom of words, otherwise known as psychology. Phew! There's a bunch of good sounding people out there. Austin, you might run down and grab me some water if I had more to spit. I'm running out of spit, Bob. I'm sorry. So that's what's happening, amen? Those are some specific things. Let's keep going here. The music movement, from banjo to orchestra, from bad music to good music. In other words, Nebuchadnezzar says, all kinds of music. There's all kinds of music blowing across this country, getting into church after church after church, and what are they building? Church attendance. Church attendance is part of the what kingdom? Physical kingdom. The rapture controversy. I thought you're all for the rapture. I'm all for the rapture. It could come right now. But what are people doing? They're either waiting for the tribulation to come, for the rapture, or they're waiting for spring. Well, he tells us to be ready anytime. And that's all we need to know. When's he coming? He could come today. Yeah, so my study shows he's probably not going to come till spring, probably not till the mid-trib, probably not till the post-trib. I don't think he's coming at all. Bible tells me to expect him right now. I'm kind of happy because if Wednesday night would have been my last sermon, I would have been happy with that, but I sure want to go out warning people. I get one more, and if he comes this afternoon, okay, then I don't have to write the one tonight. But if I have to write the one tonight, and he comes after tonight, okay. Someday I'm going to give my last sermon. Someday you're going to hear your last sermon. Someday you're going to have your last chance to quit doing something. And there's never another chance again, because you're gone. And if it's salvation, you'll have another chance. But it'll have to be different after that. Okay? So, I call it a rapture controversy. Whatever. He's coming when he's coming, and he can come right now. That's what I'm going to tell people. Christian counseling is just a bunch of swelling words of vanity from the world mixed with the religious idea of what a Bible is. That's a bunch of baloney. Prophecy, Seventh-day Adventists are perking people with revelation. This prayer and fasting thing, thank you so much. Don't even have to check it out very closely for anything in there. See, I can trust Austin. I can't trust you girls, no. Oh, Austin. Marvelous. Of course, there it goes. Anyway, this crowd doing the prayer and fasting thing. Now, I know this is a bunch of baloney, and I think you all probably know it's a bunch of baloney too, but you kids, you read this stuff, bless your sounds good. Maybe I ought to pray and fast a little bit for our country, and maybe I should go pray with these people at school and everything. Oh, here's stuff about the Azusa Street. Ooh, that's Pentecostal. Big time. Major big time. And it's got some great historical people in here. Robert E. Lee. Samuel Adams. William Seymour. No, didn't ring a bell? Okay. Benjamin Franklin. Charles Finney. Abraham Lincoln. God bless America. Let's pray and fast for our country. And let's see if we can't get God to come back down. All they have to do is open up that King James Bible. All this country has to do is say, okay, those Bibles are gone. We're going back to the Antioch manuscripts, and we're going to go back to that King James Bible. I don't know how we do it, but he would do it. We could put our kids back in public school. Our guys, they're going to look for them anyway, but they wouldn't have to worry about who they find for married, because they'd be looking for a lady and a guy for and all that kind of stuff. We don't have to worry about that stuff. Like the old days. What about the old days? Well, if we go back to the old days, today's way, we're getting mixed up. Okay, let's kingdom building. You've heard me talk about kingdom building. We'll talk about that more here. The holiness movement, just part of the kingdom building gang. Family integrated church movement. We talked about that. Just a wagon of the holiness movement, all in the name of the family. You get into something called sinless perfection. You get into entire sanctification. That's where you can walk on the outside perfectly if you got the Holy Ghost. And that's not the way it works. I've read it all. I read the dissertations this week in detail, and they are taking Romans, and they are just twisting that thing something awful. Which led me to this sermon. It's a physical religion they're trying to get started. Hollywood. Oh, Hollywood. They've gone back to Catholicism big time. Prayer and Fasting for America's movement, and teen and children programs, another kingdom trying to build something down here. Let's do something for the teens. Let's get them happy. Now, I'd love to do stuff with teens, because if nothing else, we get to eat. That's always a hit for kids, just to go someplace and eat. But here we go. This thing right here will sucker in parents to send their teens to this kind of stuff, because they don't know what to do. They don't know what else to do. They don't know what else to do. Even those that have the King James Bible don't know what to do, because it's the Bible they need. This is lies. This is lies for teenagers. Unreal what's going on out there. Okay. Well, should we go into these verses here? Christians have little or no clue about the wrong kingdom. No, I think the people on the website can read it. They can get a clue. You all know about it. People err because they don't know the scriptures. Children of this world are in their generation wiser than the children of light. Isn't that a shameful thought? You know? When the police get together and they have a session for the school about Satanism and rock music and stuff, and they do that in some cities. And what, you know, the lost world knows about what's going on lately. You get into Timothy and the love of money, right? Erred from the faith and pierced themselves through with many sorrows. That's a problem. We love money. We have the love of money. That's just what we have. Our kids need money. They want money because they want stuff. They got to have money to get their stuff. Because of that want and the love of money, everybody's erring from the faith. What's going on in America? They're erring from the faith. Why? Money. Money's behind it all. Money's behind it all. Man, get rid of it. Just give it to me. Talks about liars in the pulpits overthrowing the faith of some. Talks about people that can't endure sound doctrine. You've heard all that stuff. People asking foolish, unlearned questions. Preachers and pastors not consenting to wholesome words. You know all that stuff in Timothy, don't you? But God says somebody about somebody who corrects the Bible stuff. He calls them, he says they're proud, they don't know anything. They're perverse disputings of men of corrupt minds and destitute of the truth. These guys that go to college, God calls them destitute of the truth. Oh, I tell you. Let's go to 2 Timothy chapter 2. You'll get to this thing yet. I'm hoping you understand what I'm talking about. I'm hoping you're not bored with it. I'm hoping you've heard it before and it's coming back and you're hearing it. People today do not know anything about where the Bible's at, the Word of God. They really don't. They honestly don't. Most Christians today, if they're Christians at all, have no idea what the Lord has already done for them. That's what Wednesday night was all about. Remember that? What's the Lord done for you? Oh, he gave me a nice house. Gave me a nice car. Oh, cut it out. He's washed away your sin already. He's imputed his righteousness to you. It's far more than the physical stuff. How many Christians even know what the shuns are? What has God done through the shuns? T-I-O-N-S. Sanctification. Justification. All of them, see? What do people know about the book of Romans? Nothing. What do people know about rightly dividing the word of truth? They think you're nuts. How many people can even prove the written scriptures that they know they got the, they know they got a salvation? And they haven't got the other spirit. I don't know. Most of our friends don't know anything about, they don't know anything about that stuff. If anybody who's had some of it taught to them before with a bad attitude, they figure it's probably just some Ruckman talk. Well, okay. I can understand why you would think that. Open up your Bible and see if what he says is right. You know, he's not the only one that said this stuff. There's people before him that said this stuff. Serious? Yeah, really. They didn't like them either. But even that doesn't matter. Just open up the Bible and see what the Bible does say, what the Lord's already done. Open up the Bible and see what the shuns are. Open up your Bible and look at the book of Romans. Open up your Bible and let's look at that rightly dividing thing. Open up your Bible and let's see what the kingdom of God is versus the kingdom of heaven. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 19. After all this is yacked and preached and spit upon and everything, and I skipped a bunch of verses yet. You can read them on the website if you want. I tell you, the Lord has a marvelous word. I may preach on it tonight. We'll see. And that's the word, nevertheless. Nevertheless, Paul says, the foundation of God standeth sure, having this seal, the Lord knoweth them that are his. And let everyone that nameth the name of Christ depart from iniquity. Well, that's true. We have departed from iniquity on the inside, and we ought to depart from iniquity on the outside, but we're not going to do it until he comes and gets the outside and changes the outside so it then can do it. In the meantime, we're going to fight Romans chapter 7, 17 all day long, all night long. All day long. Romans chapter 7, not 17. Romans chapter 7, verse 17. We're going to have a constant battle. I would tend to say that if you don't have a battle going on, I would wonder if you're saved. Then again, part of that battle might be because you're just trying to do everything so perfect that you've fallen for that bondage stuff in 2 Peter chapter 2. I mean, one of the things the Lord has given us is His joy. If you don't have a joy, I'm not talking happiness. I'm talking joy. It's got to come from Him. And if you're putting your joy on whether you can walk everything just right, you are not going to have any joy because you can't walk everything just right. Now, your happiness may be affected. Does it make you happy to do something right once in a while? Sure. Not a problem. Does it make you unhappy when you blow it? But you can't lose your joy if you know that if you know what His joy is all about. That's another sermon. He says here, nevertheless. Boy, isn't that good? Look at 2 Timothy chapter 1. After all this stuff this morning, chapter 1, verse 12, nevertheless, you see that word nevertheless in there? In a couple words. Nevertheless, I am not ashamed. Is that right? 2 Timothy 1, 12? Okay. I am not ashamed, for I know whom I have believed. Every time I read this verse, I want to sing it. You know, nevertheless, I am not ashamed, for I know whom I have believed. That's how that thing goes. And am persuaded that He is able to keep that which I have committed unto Him, way too high against this day. So, with all these things going on in this country today, With this physical kingdom being pushed, you're going to have to battle the movie, The Passion of the Christ. You're going to have to fight that holiness thing. You're going to have to fight that sinless perfection. You're going to have to fight that entire sanctification. You're going to have to fight that family integrated church. You're going to have to fight the Great Commission crowd. You're going to have to fight the Bible version crowd. Everybody's trying to build a kingdom down here. We don't want a kingdom down here. But yet we still ought to walk right. We can't throw the physical kingdom out. It's just there for a testimony, and it's there to please Him, that's all. There's more verses. He talks about how to be a good minister. He says, put the brethren in remembrance of these things. He talks about, watch thou in all things, endure afflictions, do the work of an evangelist. He says, till I come, give attendance to reading, to exhortation, to doctrine. He says, fight the good fight of faith, lay hold on eternal life. He says, and the servant of the Lord must not strive, but be gentle unto all men, apt to teach, patience, in meekness, etc., etc., etc. That's it. That's an introduction. I have to think that's probably one of my longest introductions. Because what are we going to get into today? Oh, don't start yet. Don't start. I hit the button. I'll get this thing down yet, folks. I really will. Back up, right? No, back up. There we go. No. Did it. Okay. You're going to recognize this thing. Unless I hit the button again. Boink. Just sound like a Titanic hitting an iceberg just all of a sudden, you know? Crunch. Okay, here we go. Isn't that pretty? I mean, it took me a long time to draw those little critters. What is this all about? Kingdom of God and Kingdom of Heaven. Now, with all the stuff I've been yakking about today, that everybody out there is getting caught up in a physical kingdom, how did this come about? What are we talking about? And like I say, it's been a long time since we've talked about this thing. I've got it on paper. You can have it later tonight. It's much more simplified than the other pile. So tiny. But the other one would give you all the scriptures. This one gave you the scriptures. And I still want people to have the other one because it's got all the Bible verses on it. We won't even begin to deal with all the details. This is a very general, quick run through. We've got plenty of time here this morning. Kingdom of Heaven is a physical, visible, literal, material kingdom. It's what I said. It exists right now. It's not some guy in a cloud, heaven, up there playing a harp. Although nothing against harps. You know, the way you're going to play harp, it might sound like a spiritual kingdom down here. But, you know, I don't know. It's now. It's the place. And the other thing then is the kingdom of God the Bible talks about is righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost. See, that's a spiritual kingdom. It's an invisible kingdom. Totally two different kingdoms. Totally. These are the people that were involved as leaders in each one of their little kingdoms. Abraham, Noah, Isaac, Jacob, Judah, Moses, Saul, David, Solomon, Jeconiah. We need to learn about those guys, and that's what our kids hopefully learn when they're little kids. Learn about all the neat stories that take place in here. All the things that take place with those guys. Neat stuff, amen? I mean, there's a lot of stuff that goes on in there. Keeps going. Zedekiah. I couldn't fit Nebuchadnezzar in, so we just put up Babylon, because Nebuchadnezzar was the king of Babylon type of thing. You got Daniel. Aren't you guys doing Daniel right now? See? This is where he fits in there. Then we got John the Baptist, and he wasn't a Baptist church Baptist. He was just John the Baptist because he was baptizing people. Oh. Then you got Jesus Christ, of course. Then in the New Testament, you got Peter, Stephen, Paul. You get into the Antichrist. You get into Jesus Christ on the millennium. You get into the New Earth. Okay, those are some general things. Now let's go back and let's look at this kingdom thing. I hope a little bit that was a problem. Satan was a god. He was a created being from heaven, okay? I mean, he was a spiritual being. And that's the kingdom of God crown up there. But he was also sent down to this world, so he was an earthly creature now, which made him part of the kingdom of heaven. Both kingdoms existed. That's not a problem. Adam comes along and he's made in the image of God, kingdom of God. He was clean. From what we probably understand, his blood was, it was water, it was clear, no sin, no nothing. He's an image of God. He's the image of God. That's just what he was called. Image fell. There's a kingdom of heaven, earthly critter. Now at this time when he fell, that kingdom of God took off. It's done. It's history. It's not there anymore. He was a physical, earthly, kingdom of heaven person who had skin and had blood and color, and they're ashamed of each other, and they wore fig leaves and all this stuff, finally put on a whole suit of wool or whatever. Earthly kingdom. Kingdom of heaven. And from here on out, that's the way it was. Everything in that Old Testament was based on earthly kingdom stuff. Kingdom of heaven. Kingdom of heaven meaning all the stuff that existed physically. Amen? Now, there's Bible verses for all that stuff, and you can look them up and see what they all were famous for, and you need to know who these people are, but the best one you need to study on here is this guy called Jeconiah. Because this is where God says, I am tired of all this stuff. I have helped you guys a gazillion million times. This isn't quite how we put it. But he just said, we're done. The male seed, that little wormy little guy, he's cursed. Nobody can run this kingdom again. No male down here in the earth. And there's where it's at in Jeremiah 12. Now, these next four guys here, Zedekiah here, that kingdom was already gone kaputs, and he had a worthless kingdom. He was a worthless creature. He was just kind of there. No big deal with him. Nebuchadnezzar comes along and is a type of Antichrist, runs the whole system with the devil, so he's a type of the Antichrist. Daniel comes along, he's got these great dreams and things about what's coming. John the Baptist comes along, he's known as the voice, and he's telling people, folks, the kingdom of heaven, the kingdom of God is at hand, it's coming. And here he comes, Jesus Christ. He was the Son of Man, kingdom of heaven. He was the Son of God, kingdom of God. He was an earthly creature, and he was a godly creature. As a Son of Man, he came down to be the Messiah for the Jews, and he came down to the Gentiles after the Jews. They killed him. New Testament begins after they killed him. Now remember, both kingdoms... Let's try it here. Ta-da! Both kingdoms exist now. I want you to get that. Kingdom of heaven, kingdom of God. Up until this time, I hate pointers, but I might as well use it. Right in here, there were no kingdoms. One was the devil's kingdom, one was a worthless one, one was a dreamed one, and one was coming. Both of them were coming right here. All through this part up here, it was a kingdom of heaven, it was an earthly kingdom. Nothing spiritual went on at all. If God came down, God came down. The Holy Spirit showed up, the Holy Spirit showed up and left. Showed up and left. So it's all earthly stuff. At the very beginning, both kingdoms were here, but when he blew it, the spiritual one, the godly one, the perfect, the spiritual one disappeared, just gone. God took it away. Okay, now we're down in the New Testament here. Peter offers the kingdom again. Remember that stuff in 2 Peter chapter 2. Now early Peter's got a problem, but they still had a chance. Both kingdoms still existed. Stephen comes along. Both kingdoms still existed. He gives the Jews another chance. He preaches a marvelous sermon, and like most good sermons, they killed him. They didn't like to hear it at all. And as a result of that thing, God says, okay, that was the last chance you had, and now the kingdom of heaven is gone. Because Jesus was going to come back, and Jesus was going to, I'm willing to make this the kingdom. I'll come back, and we'll just make everything from here on out. He gave him one more chance. And when they killed Stephen, Jesus took that as a hint, sat back down again, said, okay, Paul, let's get on with it. Jews are blind, and Jews are done. He's done to that whole thing. It's no longer to the Jew first. It was to the Jew first, but it's gone now. And here's my point. The point is, with Paul, this church, this age of grace, we are nothing but a kingdom of God issue. The physical kingdom means nothing. And so what people are trying to do today is they're trying to go through this kingdom up here, all the stuff the Old Testament taught, the priests, the blood this and that, and the animal this and the environment, all this kind of stuff. It's all physical kingdom. They're in the wrong. They're wrongly dividing is what they're doing. You want to get down into more specific dividing, we can figure this stuff out down here, how this stuff has some Old Testament preaching to it. But yet, when they get done with it, this is where it's at, because Paul had a face-to-face visit with the Lord, and the Lord said, Paul, here's what I want you to preach. All this other stuff from here on back is past, it's done. So if anybody pulls any kind of teachings or desire or walk or anything from back in here, and back in here, they're out of whack. They're trying to build the wrong kingdom. Now you've heard this before. And I don't think this is all new for you, but it's reviewed. But isn't that amazing what's going on today? I mean, the Great Commission, that's back here. You've got Alpha, that's Acts and the Gospels. You've got holiness stuff. They're going by all this stuff. They're going by all the stuff back in here that we need to walk to be perfect. All the sanctification stuff. No, it is all a spiritual thing. Totally spiritual. If you want to come to church smelling like Boise, you go right ahead. It's been done before. And it didn't bother God any. Didn't bother me any. Might have bothered the back couple pews. Only because of the physical smell of it, not for the concept. If you want to come to church in a dress, if you're a lady, you go right ahead. I mean, that's fine. I mean, that's, you know, whatever. It's between you and God. We can put all the Baptist distinctions we want out, and it's good to follow, it's good to lead somebody through that good, clean path, but if they don't do it, you don't kick them out of the church. And what do you do to join the church? You come. Now, because we're a corporation, a nonprofit organization, and we got that status, we should have a membership list so when we get sued, y'all get to split the bill. Nah, it goes the other way around. But there's reasons to have church membership. What do you have to do to join the church? Whatever you want to make them do. You want them to be baptized? They can be baptized. You don't get baptized into the local church. It's just a membership thing. If you want to have everybody have to wear ties and they can't come to church, go right ahead. That's what you want to do. You can do that. Because the physical kingdom doesn't mean anything to God. If it gets you to come to get preaching, then preach them, and the spiritual word will work on you. You see what I'm saying? If you have to park a certain way out here without putting the nose over the sidewalk, I can give you a ticket. Just because we've done that. It has nothing to do with God. I mean, God's not thrilled one way or the other. If we have to make Lewis and Sue walk over the grass a little bit because somebody's great big huge nose sticks over the sidewalk, well, God isn't going to kill you for it. They might trip or something. It's just physical stuff. If we have a pulpit in here, fine. If this guy preaches off a music stand, that's fine. If I wear a tie, don't wear a tie. If you know, it's physical stuff. You got a nice house, you got a bad house. You got a torn up Bible, you got a nice Bible. You got a Bible you've written in, you can write in your Bible. You want to tear it up and burn it and spit on it? No. But it could be done. You want to see it fly off the hood of your car down the highway in the rear view mirror of your car? Well, I've seen that happen a couple times. But God didn't chastise me and kill me for it. Beck, I don't think you still have it anymore. You used to have a tire tread across one of her books. Remember what page it was? What was? Yeah, tire treads. Well, it fell on the highway and poof, 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 you know. One of the people at the school found it and called us, and there it was. Took it to the bookbinder, and he took it off, the tire tread. That was kind of disappointing. Good story there. Physical kingdom. Are you seeing what these guys are doing? It's just all physical kingdom stuff. And physical kingdom is physical. What makes a person happy? Physical things. What gives a person joy? Spiritual things. People are miserable as Christians because we're thinking of the physical kingdom more than we are the spiritual kingdom. Some people have a lousy testimony because all they think about is the spiritual kingdom. Could care less about the physical kingdom. I don't think that's right either. It has to be a balance. It has to be a proper balance, not a 50-50 balance, but in its right place. Why do we have a nice lawn? Does God give us more money and blessings because we have a nice lawn? No, matter of fact, that grass, whatever you call that weed grass, Bermuda grass, is just another year's worth of, man, just so irritating. But like grass just means nothing. Matter of fact, grass in the Bible is what? A type of flesh. There's a lesson out there. You know, I can't grow trees worth a bean around here. What does the Bible compare trees to? People. I was out there working on these trees, and I see them grow for a little while, then they start dying. I'm thinking, oh man, is that what I do as a pastor? I can get trees to start, but I kill them by the time they get old enough or whatever. All sorts of typology, but the physical kingdom doesn't mean anything. It's a spiritual kingdom. That spiritual kingdom, there's a rapture. There has to be a rapture. He's got to take this physical thing and change it. But until then, he has already changed us spiritually. Now get this. He will not change us physically until he comes and gets us physically. Everything else in that realm is a physical kingdom emphasis. And there is nothing here. It's a problem. It's a major problem. All these things I read, they're all, the music movement is a physical problem. But it affects people spiritually. Okay, then after everybody's taken out of this thing, now it becomes a physical kingdom? No, it becomes a spiritual kingdom? No, it becomes devil's kingdom. That's why we have to be out of here totally. That's why Jeremiah even says, the voice of the bride is gone, the voice of the bridegroom is gone, the voice of gladness is gone, the voice of kindness is gone. All this, there's no jobs, there's no water, there's no fish. Really makes it hard. I think Hosea talks about that. But if there's no fish, there's probably no pheasants, you know, that kind of a thing. No elk. And it's just a horrible time. All this stuff, people are going to realize that God's been the one protecting a water supply, not some 6-foot fence. But is America going to go back and physically protect America? Not for a second. God is still blessing us, really. Is prayer and fasting going to make a difference to our country? It's gonna bring. You know what they've done? They took the Bible out, which is a foundation. I know Jesus Christ is a foundation, but if it wasn't for the Bible, they wouldn't know anything about Jesus Christ. So they take that Bible away, totally, and they change some stuff, and then they want to bring everybody back to a revival, and then they redone the foundation. Isn't it amazing? You see what they've done? When we were younger, and when you were middle-aged, you know, they took the Bible away. That was a big issue. I couldn't believe it. We just got upset. We preached about that. Some people wise up, some people wouldn't. Amen. And now we're living where we're older, and you're old. That's not an issue anymore, is it? You see that? The Bible versions is kind of like a whatever, ho-hum issue. The issue now. Now, to hear this, the issue now is what they're trying to bring people back to is wrong. And all these people, they're going to agree with us. Oh, wouldn't it be good to go back to the... Oh, if we just had the... Yeah. The desire is right. But the destination has been totally changed. And all the stuff these people say, how do you argue that? Of course we want our teenagers to have a real relationship with the Lord. But when those people that are saying that, with wolf's clothing, they're bringing them right back into their little wolf's den now instead of the sheep's pen. Pasture, fold, there we go. What is a wolf crowd? Den, right? A wolf's den instead of the sheep's fold. See? Isn't that nice? And we're going to have to go against people that have the same desire, and we have the same desire as them, except we don't want them to go where they're going. So you thought it was hard to talk to people about Bible versions. Now we got to talk to people that are saying the same lingo as us, and we want to teach the spiritual kingdom, and they're trying to get people back to a physical kingdom. The physical kingdom has been reconstructed. It's wrong. It is a earthly kingdom. It is a Catholic kingdom. It is a Balaam kingdom. You getting that this morning? You getting that? Isn't that something? Boy, God's good to us here. I was just water pump last night again. I think it was 1:30, 2 o'clock. I was just excited. Man, Lord, this is... I was just going to do handwritten notes. I know I want to get this on the website. People need to be able to see this. Is anybody going to look at it? I don't know. It's amazing. We got the tribulation during the Antichrist. That's not going to be here for that. Amen. Now this is where we come back with him. Both kingdoms are back again. We are in a physical body, but is a glorified physical body. What's it going to be like? Read what it was like when he came back. He ate fish. Which I thought was kind of disappointing, because I'm more into having a hamburger when I come back. But I'll put up with fish if that's what it has to be. You know, it won't be mad cow, it'll be saved cow, I suppose. I don't know. He does say he's got one cattle on 1,000 hills or something like that. I would think that means hamburgers. I don't know. Might as well. Of course, where we're going to get the bun? Bread? What's bread? Wheat? Oh, yeah, we could get buns. Yeah. Might not be a miracle. We're probably too greasy. He's probably eating the Atkins. Anyway. This is what I want you to see is right here. The kingdom stuff. Let's wrap this up here. Someday, after the earth is burned with fire, etc., 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 both kingdoms will be not only on the earth, for the Jews, there'll be in the new heavens for the Gentiles, and we will be with him in New Jerusalem as the bride. Da dun da da. Ba dun da da. Isn't that exciting thought? Looking for and hasting until the coming of the day of God. I like that, the day of God. Wherein the heavens being on fire shall be dissolved, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. Nevertheless, there it is again. We, according to his promise, look for new heavens and a new earth. Now look at this, and get this, wherein dwelleth righteousness. This perfect, what do we call it, perfect sinless perfection, this entire sanctification, this holiness stuff, they got the right idea. They totally had the right idea. It's not the people I'm concerned about. They just got the wrong time. It's coming. We will walk that perfect walk someday. We cannot walk that perfect walk today. He's already charged us with a perfect walk today. It's all a kingdom issue. We are in the spiritual kingdom, the kingdom of God. We are not in the physical kingdom. Remember when I did this a long time ago? We went till 1:30, I think it was, because I drew it up on the board and all this kind of stuff and called it a man and drew it all in there. But I remember some folks said, I'd never seen it like that before. That was a marvelous way to put it, the two kingdoms. And there's still questions in here. There's still learning to do. There's still some things to ask about in here. You can have the detailed verses. Look it up yourself. Look them up. Deal with it. You shouldn't have any problem right here with what Paul says, unless you don't know what Paul says. How many people started to read the New Testament but never got further than the Gospels? That's usually what happens. So all we know about Christianity is what the Gospels say. Most important part of the Bible today is what? The Pauline epistles. And he's done with the Jews. But they come back. Boy, they get it right here, don't they? You know, if you see somebody going to get the daylights wailed out of them as a kid or whatever, brothers or something, you know, or sisters, whatever, it's smart not to go in there with them. You know? Because you might have had something to do with it a little bit. And it's just nice, you know, stay out of there. And here's the tribulation. Boy, they're going to get it, aren't they? Now, how are they going to get it? Well, according to Proverbs chapter 1, God's going to let them have what they want. I'm amazed that that's what the tribulation is. Now, he's going to send earthquakes and the whole spiel. But he says, I'm going to let you have everything you want. And you're going to be more miserable than you've ever been in your life. All these people that are shooting for this physical kingdom joy down here, someday they're going to get everything they want. You want that holiness walk? Go for it. You want to do this? It's all yours. The Bible's gone. The Christian's gone. The Holy Spirit's gone. God is gone. All the stuff he's protected, all that's gone. Have at it. Have your parents ever said that to your kids? You want this? I am tired of fighting it. Go right ahead. Have at it. And it bugs you at first because they kind of enjoy it. They do. And we know what the wrath, we know what the tribulation is all about, amen? First couple of years are what? The financial system makes sense? Get rid of all this cash and stuff, makes sense to me, Dad. Get the chip, I won't lose my hand. You know, I automatically record it down at the bank and all that stuff. 3 years of, finally, get these guys out of here. This makes all the sense in the world. Remember Lion King? First half of that kingdom, was there a good time? Hyenas were hyenating and all these kind of things. They're going, having a good time. Then all of a sudden, the Scar said, hey, we're out of food. Starving to death. Devil's going to say, okay, now that I got you, here's what you're going to do. Bow down and worship me. What? I need to get saved. Well, Tim LaHaye says I can get saved. Okay. I remember I read this book when I was a kid. It won't work. Somebody's going to come along and say, hey boy, we need to not take this mark. We need to do this, blah, 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 blah. Totally different. And then they're just going to get the, how do they say, the daylight's whooped out of them? You know? I don't want to go to that thing with them. I'm not into that. Sam, when Tyler's having a bad day, do you want to go in there with him? Now, there are some folks that would be willing to take the punishment for somebody else. Ever had to do that? Ever been in a classroom? Somebody else did something wrong? And you said, I did it. Just to save him from getting grief? That was nice of you and all, but that's pretty stupid. You know? I shouldn't say it that way because Jesus Christ went and took my penalty. Paid my price. It was a kind of a dumb thing to do because he didn't do anything. He didn't sin at all. But he did it. Yeah. And I'm not going to ever tell him. That was sure stupid. You know? So every now and then when you guys stick up for your brother and they keep from getting in trouble, that's a pretty neat thing that you do. Just remember that the Lord did it for you. And don't get caught up in this physical tsunami, what do you call those things? Tsunami that's blowing across our country like crazy. Did you get that this morning? I listed about 20 of those things. Each one is a problem, but step back and look at them all, what they're doing. It's a physical kingdom problem. They just don't know the difference between the kingdom of God and the kingdom of heaven. Let's stand. I'd have to say that how much do you know about the kingdom of God and kingdom of heaven? It's worthy of your study. Boy, it's been a long time since we talked about it, isn't it? We talked about rightly dividing this, rightly dividing that. And rightly dividing is just understanding the two kingdoms. But I hope that made sense to you this morning if you've never seen it before. I like to see some people walk out of here and I'd like to hear them say, boy, just never saw that. That's an amazing thing. You know, Pastor Guy, I'm tired of being unhappy and frustrated, no joy. I think it's the neatest thing in the world that God shows us this stuff. Now remember, Paul, he was troubled. Doesn't say that we can't be troubled. Doesn't say that we aren't going to be perplexed. We just don't need to get into any despair. We still need to deal with things. We still need to teach our children right. We still need to be the right kind of witness to our friends. And you need to thank the Lord for what He's shown you. And pray for the family here. Pray for the church people. It's happened in the past. People will come up afterwards and they will say the famous Christian word. What's the famous Christian word? No, I wish. It's a three-letter word. But. They'll probably say what you just said, maybe. But you know, I just don't see it that way. Whatever. Read your Bible. It's on the website. I'll print anything up that you want. Hopefully help us with printing costs. And I'll show you some stuff. I'll come over to your house. We'll sit down. We'll go through this stuff again. But don't just deny it. Don't deny it because I was the one that presented it. Don't deny it because it looks like only one other person did in the whole world. Forget all that physical stuff and get into your spiritual, physical Bible and check it out. I would have to say that this is the only thing that we can visibly see that's got both kingdoms. Now, we have both kingdoms. But this is something that came from the kingdom of God in its physical kingdom of heaven position. Isn't that neat? What do they look to the Bible as? They look to the Bible as a physical kingdom book. If this was a physical kingdom book, then yeah, it's got some problems. Right? If this was only a kingdom of God book, then you would only have it in the originals. And who's ever got the originals? Better know how to read Greek and Hebrew. No. God has given it to us in both kingdoms right here. Physical print. You know how many gazillion people died so you could have this book right here? Slowly died. Some have even died lost over this book. I challenge, I just beggingly challenge Bible studies of Romans and dividing and understand that thing up there. And you will not get caught up with all these people lying to you. Good people lying to you. Nice people. They got the right ideas, some of them. They got the right desires. Let's rescue our teenagers. Right. But let's rescue them correctly. And if you're going to turn your kids over to anybody else but you as a parent, you're asking for disaster. I don't think our kids have ever been in any more danger as they are today. Amen. Who knows what we're going to do tonight? Just come back and see what God will feed you tonight. Come back to the fold. I like that, the fold. And hope that we can help you spot more wolves. Father, we thank you so much again for this time today. I thank you, Lord, for being so gracious to us to show us these things. And I do believe, Lord, it's because we're just willing here to believe without seeing. But you certainly have showed us a lot since we put our belief and trust in you. Pray, Lord, that you would bring us all back tonight. And maybe those folks who couldn't make it this morning would come back tonight. Lord, help us understand these things that you were teaching us here this morning. Help us realize the movements that are going across our country are horrible. And they look good and they sound so good to some people. But help us, Lord, say no to these things and just become a simple Bible-believing, Bible-reading, Bible-studying Christian. And as we go off to work, help us, Lord, not only understand the spiritual things, the deep things from you that the Holy Spirit gives us, but help us, Lord, have the walk that would show that we live your life. But Lord, don't let us be in bondage over these things. Help us, Lord, have the grace for not only each other, but for ourselves. And seek a good testimony to win somebody else, not only to the soul for salvation, but back to this book. Help us, Lord, be an example of bringing people back to the book, not to some false foundation. Thank you for the folks that made it. I thank you, Lord, that there's people to preach to at this little church. Thank you for paying the bills. Thank you for bringing us here safely. Pray that you bring us back again tonight. In Jesus' name, amen.